morning and a powerful time in my God's presence. He's not through either. He's not through. He's just starting. Thank you, man, for that great worship team that's leading us into the presence of the Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come and share with you today. I'm not going to be before you too long. I'm just going to give you what I feel like the Lord has given us. And I'm going to try to stay on task. Pastor, I'm the bishop. Come on, let's put our hands together for us.
Amen.
God has promoted the man of God, and it is, I'm telling you, it is worth. And God has been on his life for a long time.
Amen.
He's worthy of the honor that God has given him, even in this season. So let's put our hands together for the bishop. This is our first time
here
in this building. And we've known him for a long time, and so we talk a lot. But what I told him is, since he told me to preach, I said, I'm not going to talk to you too much, because I don't want them to think that you've been telling me stuff. So, so we usually talk 2 or 3 times a week, and that's my big brother. And so he's been there for me. He said 20 years. When I was up and down, Pastor Spencer was the same man. He's the same man of God that you see today. He's always going to tell you the truth. And if he loves you, he loves you.
Amen.
And if you get on his nose and you cuss him off, he's the same man. I want to also thank my wonderful, beautiful, talented wife. She's so anointed. I really don't think she realized how anointed she is, but she's coming into her season, and even now, even as she was up here, I saw God was taking her somewhere where she needs to go. So come on, let's put our hands together.
Amen.
Let's get into the word. So, Pastor, you told me that you're talking about worship, so we're going to stay right there in the vein. And so I'm telling you right now, you have a wonderful pastor and a teacher. So I'm not going to say too much. And he's probably already said it, so I'm just going to echo some of the things that he said and try to add whatever God has given me. So let's go ahead and go to the word, John, the 4th chapter, verses 23 and 24. I am reading. I'm an old school preacher now. Now, I'm not old school in my presentation, but I was born in the PAW, so I'm an apostolic baby. Now, God is taking us further, and we understand some things, and he's open about understanding, but I am an apostolic. So the reason why I'm saying that is because I read out with the New King James Version. And so, with that said, let's read verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If I had a title, which I do, I want to talk about the hour of true worship. The hour of true worship. Let's set some ground before I go into the text. In Hosea, there's a minor prophet, sorry. This says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they rejected God. So we want to understand what God is saying in his word. You know, I think the Spirit in my study time he told me, he said, slow down when you read. A lot of times we read over things and we miss major points of what God is trying to say to us. And there are some things that God wants to, he wants to give us, but we have to slow down and pay attention. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get an understanding. So when you're reading the words, your prayer should be, Father, open up my understanding so I can hear what you are saying to me through your scripture. So with that said, we're going to try to exegete the scripture, this short scripture. And exegete means to extract the meaning out of what it is trying to say to us. And so, in this story, I know Bishop probably tore this story up because I know he's been preaching on it. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman on the mountain. And he prophesied. Now, let's break that down. He prophesied to her and he told her everything about it. Let's go back. Jesus, all he did was witness to him. But this is the thing. This is where I've grown from the PAW days. we used to be told, we got no witness. Witness. Go out and witness. What God wants to do with his believers and his people is he wants to use the prophetic to be a witness. So that's why you have to be in tune with what God is saying. Because as you speak to people at work or in the street, God wants to give you a prophetic utterance. Because that's what's going to bring people into the house.
Amen.
Is when we're able to speak and hear the word of the Lord and say, okay, this is what God is saying to you. And all God said to this lady, is he asked her, where is your husband?
Yeah.
And then she said, I don't have one. And then he gave her, just opened it up. And just because he said, you have five and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. She said, she took that and said to him, he told me my whole life just from one prophetic word. So that's how God wants to use us, but that's not what I'm trying to say. All right, so it says, but the hour is coming and has now come. My first point is God is a God of timing, and his time is perfect. God is a God of timing. So he was talking to this lady and he said, okay, now they were on a mountain. And this mountain that they were on is where the Samaritan people came to worship. Now let's break that down just a little bit. This mountain was the mountain where Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac. And so what the Samaritan people did is they made a monument of a place and they made it sacred, but God had moved from that place.
Hmm.
Because he moved to another mountain. But because they wanted to stay in their tradition, they said, we're going to stay here, but God had already moved his church, and he said, I want to meet you over here. Mm. So that's why he told her early in the scripture, he said, y'all worship here. The Jews know who they're worshiping. So now, you're worshiping here, so you think you're worshiping the right thing. God has moved and said, we're over here, but you're still worshiping somewhere else. That's why he said the true worship. Mm. But we're going to get there. So timing, I'm speeding up, but I'm going to slow down. timing. The definition of timing is the indefinite continued progress of the existent and events of the past, the present, the future, regarding the whole time. That's the definition of time. Jesus came here and he had a specific time to do what he was called. In John 2 and 4, Jesus was talking to his mother and he told her this. He said, this is what it says in John 2 and 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, this does not have anything to concern me. It is not my hour yet." Now God was talking in time. He said, "It's not my hour." Then we go down in Mark 14 and 41. This was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said this. He said, "It is now my hour." So there is a timing where God is trying to do something in all of our lives. So that's why he said the hour is coming and is now here. Now is the time. The time for what? What is it time for? It says now for true worship. That will worship the Father. So what is worship? Worship is defined in the Oxford Dictionary because we don't give about three or four different worship options. This is a subject that we can probably stay on for about 3 or 4 months. Because it's so much needed. But the Oxford Dictionary says this: the feeling or express of reverence or adoration for God. That's a very vague definition. That's why it's in the Oxford Dictionary. Very good. Worship involves both the right attitude and the right action.
That's good.
The right attitude.
That's good.
And the right action. In the Old Testament, they worship as an act. Mm-hmm. It was an act. There was a whole long list of things that God had given the people of Israel to do, to worship him. When you study, I know he broke it open just a little bit, the tabernacle of Moses, and all of the different steps. God was trying to show us something that he was going to, in the future, we were going to live out. So he was setting something that we were going to live out through our lives. So worship is the right attitude and the right action. True worship is balanced and involves the mind, the emotion, and the will. It is intelligent. Okay. It is very intelligent. It reaches deep within and is motivated by love, which leads us to the obedient action that glorifies God.
Amen.
One more time. True worship is balanced. It involves the mind, emotion, and will. And it is intelligent. It reaches deep within motives by love, which leads us to obedient action that glorifies God. Matthew 15, 8 and 11. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law. Well, he said true worship. So that means that there is some worship that's not true. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd and said to them, "Listen and understand. What goes into somebody's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth defiles them." What comes out of their mouth. for the right attitude and the right action. We do not worship God to get something from him, but we worship him because he's worthy.
Yeah.
Good.
We don't worship him because we need something.
Right.
We worship him because of who he is.
Right.
True worship is not cheap.
Amen.
True Amen. Worship is not cheap.
Amen. Good.
Worship is individually and corporate.
Mm-hmm.
It's individual and corporate. It's personal and congregational.
Amen.
So you cannot come here and think that God is going to use you mightily if you don't have a personal relationship and you don't worship at home.
Right.
We live in a, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because we can go there, but I'm just going to say this and I'm going to keep moving. We live in a generation that all they worry about is performance.
Yeah.
If you can perform, then you can get it the job.
That's right.
They don't care about how you live. They don't care about anything else. But if you can get up on the stage and give a performance, you can get a job. Even in the church. Now, we expect that from the world, but we can come to church and live any type of way. But because you can sing or play or even orate, they will give you the mic.
Yeah.
Just stay there because I'm not going to look at it. I'm telling you what's going to happen.
That's all right.
Led by the Spirit, we must have the right attitude and the responsibility to express ourselves in our praise and worship that matters to God, and it reflects through our personality and our culture. God does not want you to be anyone but who he made you to be. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, the generation again.
Talk about it.
These things right here, I think, sometimes could be the worst thing ever happened to
man. Amen.
Yes.
Yep.
Because of social media.
Yep.
And because we always looking and comparing ourselves to people all over the world. But this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to get in his presence so that he can show you who he created you to be.
Amen.
So let's take some time off of this. And let's get in his presence, because that's the true worship. The true worship is, can you worship God when everything is going wrong?
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Is there still a worship in your mouth? I was talking to Big Brother, and we always talk, and we talk about the word, and we'll be on the phone for hours. My wife would be like, man, you can talk to Spencer for hours. But when you have somebody that you connect with, and we can talk about the word and life issues and things like that. You don't get that many people. So you got to take hold of those relationships and people. Stewardship of relationships. That's another message. Stewardship of relationships. But anyway, I was talking to him and I was just telling him, I said, man, there's something that happened. The Bible says that David was a man after God's heart.
Right.
So where did this happen? Where did God get this revelation? Well, he made him, but he said it. And it's recorded in his word that God said he's a man after my heart. And so as I begin to break it down and I begin to study, I'm like, man, where did this happen? You know where this happened? This happened when David was a shepherd boy on the side of the mountain, taking care of his father's sheep. He built a relationship with God. Now, the Bible doesn't even say too much about it, but this is what I'm telling you. from that relationship, David comes out of that relationship to kill a giant.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Good.
That's the first thing he did. He killed a giant, which everybody around him was scared of. So there's something that happened in those fields. He cultivated this relationship of worship, because you see it all through David's life. Even when David failed, you know why David was a man after God's heart is because he was able to, when he failed, he didn't run away from God, but he ran to God.
Amen.
He had a relationship like, man, I messed up. Most of us, when we mess up, what do? We run away from God. We want to stay away because we think he's going to condemn us. But he's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that gives us the grace to get over what we're going through. And so we have to get that heart, but it was cultivated in time of worship. Worship and prayer go hand in hand.
Yes.
Jesus said this to the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, listen, you have to learn my processes and you have to learn my equations. Processes and equations. You hear, I'm a pastor, I'm a staff pastor at a church, it's called Free Church in Chicago, Oak Park, Illinois, and just listening to people and they come praying. But it's nothing is happening. Prayer is only one part of the equation. Where else can you go? Like, I'm in school, so I'm finishing my doctorate in business leadership. And so there are certain things, well, in all of it, there's an answer for every question. I cannot go make up an answer and say, here you go, teacher, take my answer. It doesn't work. If I don't give the right answer, then I get the question wrong. But then we come to church and we want to give God a part of what he said in his word, and we get mad at him because it doesn't work for us. That's why the Bible says you got to study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
And you don't have to show him. You have to show yourself approved. A worker that needed not to be ashamed. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, worship. There is one more. Worship is the believer's response to all that we are. Our mind, our emotion, our will, our body. To all that God is, what he says, and what he does. It is our loving response that is balanced by the fear of the Lord. We can go on a tangent right there too. The fear of the Lord and the response and the obedience of his word. The logos and the word. That's what worship is. When we come up here, we come here into the sanctuary and we have a time of worship, it's just an expression of what you've already done at home. So that's why when you come here, we really should be seeing the face of God more than we do. But we're not doing our homework. We're not doing our part. We come to church for somebody to lift us up. And it's not the church's responsibility to lift you up. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So it is your responsibility as a believer to do your part, and that's at home. This is not a religion, it's a relationship. The church is just here to introduce you to who God is and to get you to understand this thing. And as you get older, the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher.
Amen.
Pastor Spencer should he should be echoing what the Holy Spirit is telling you at home. He might give you a greater revelation, but when you really connect it and tap in, the Holy Spirit gives you what's going on in the church. So if you're studying and you're praying and you're spending time in God's presence, God will give you a nugget. This is where I am. And then you come to church and Pastor Spencer will preach on something, you like, boom. That's how you know if you connect.
Amen.
That's how you know if you connect. If you want a litmus test of am I really connected? You should hear, this is the thing, because God always confirms his word. He confirms. That's why we have to be connected in the body. Because God is not just saying something to you and only you. If he says it to you, he's going to echo it through someone else. And so most times when I'm praying or God give me a revelation or something, I say something or I talk to my brother and he'll say, God is saying this. Boom. And we'll just start going into this big old long conversation on what God is saying. But that's how you know you're connected. You have to do your part. This is a day where you have to do your part. Worship is doing your part. It is the right mindset. Understanding who God is. Understanding who he created you to be. Having identity. The Bible says, in him we move, we breathe, and we have our being. And so you have to have the identity, and then you have to do your part, which act is, how could you be married to somebody and never spend time with them? Not just married, but any relationship you're in. And you only come to them when you need something, or you're in trouble, and you say, let me go over here. Even that gets on your nerves as a parent. Yep. If your kid just come to you only when they need something, you're going to be like, hold up now. Hold up. I'm not just the bank. I have feelings here. Come spend a little time. Try to carve out something. I know you're busy, but can I get a little bit? Come and sit down and talk to me a little bit. I have a 17-year-old son. He's a senior. And sometimes I just got to call him like, hey, you have a dad over here. Hey, I know if you need something, he knows how to pick that phone up. But just call and make sure I'm breathing.
Yeah.
And that's how we treat God. We treat him as the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Or when we need something and now we get super spiritual, I'm going to dig in now because I need God to move on my behalf. I'm going to start fasting and praying because I need him to move. But this is the thing. If you just do what you're supposed to do, the Bible said that there is nothing that he will withhold from him that walk uprightly before him.
Yep.
Let's keep moving. Number two is worship. How do we worship in the Spirit? Worshiping in the Spirit. There's only one Spirit that we worship. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, there's many spirits out here. But we worship the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 8, this is Jesus being the express image of God. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus has given us a new life, and he's reconciling us back to our original place. Adam gave the keys, and we went down the dark hole, and Jesus Christ then came, and he is reconciling us back. Yeah. Romans 8, 13 and 15. We must be led by the Spirit of God. This is how we worship in the Spirit. This is what it says. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, put death, the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The scripture is telling us that if we're led by the Spirit of God, we are called to stay as our identity. Our identity is in Him. It is in Him. Acts 17:27 from here. God, the Spirit of God is where we have everything. Whatever you need, God has given you His Spirit. He's giving you His Spirit. And you just have to tap in. You have to get His principles, His processes, and His equation. There's so many. That's why we have to know His word. You have the power, but you have to learn how to use that power. All His promises are in this. We quote your scripture wrong. It said all of God's promises, and it says the big part that we skip in Him. All His promises in Him are yea. And it says in Him are in amen. So you have to be in Him for the promises to work.
Amen.
The promises only work when you're in Him. That's why you have to slow down. We say the scripture all the time. All God's promises are yea and amen. That's misquoting the scripture. You're missing out the biggest part. The in Him. I'm going to keep moving. Worship. We worship Him in truth. This means that we must worship God according to His outline in His word. What He has outlined in His word, which is this Holy Scripture. We have to know this book. This is our textbook. This is our science book. You know, they got science, they got math, whatever kind of, they got business. It's in this book. They couldn't get business if they didn't have this book. I'm telling you. God will open up your understanding. If you just spend time, I promise you, I've been on a consecration. And when I read the Bible, I promise you, it opens up like I've never seen it before. I'll sit down and I'll read it, and it's like, I've never seen it like this before. But this book is alive. It's a live book, and wherever you are, it will meet you at the point of where you are and minister to you. And then you can go back a year later and read the same scripture, and God will give you something brand new right from the same scripture. That's because your relationship with Him is in a different place.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We must begin the truth is to being in the truth to God. We must be true to God's heart. We must be true to God. This is what the Bible says. Psalms 51:5-7. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my mother's sin, in the sins of my mother to conceive me. Behold, he desired truth in the inward parts and the hidden parts. You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with wisdom, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank you. But listen, when you get in God's presence, God is the God of truth. So you can come to God's presence and try to hold back him. He already knows before you even come. It goes back to what I said a little earlier. If you fall, he was right there. He saw it. So why would you run away from him? Just come and say, Father, listen, I messed up. That's why David was a man. Because he was quick to say, Father, I messed up. Father, listen, I know I messed up, but I know who you are. And I know how much you love me. And that's how we should go to God every time. His grace is sufficient. His love is made perfect in our weakness. So all he wants us to do is come and confess to him and be honest in his presence.
Amen.
That's true worship. It's when we're able to be honest about everything. That's when you're able to be honest with God, you don't care about what people think.
Right.
You lose that comparison thing. Because if God is for you, then he's more than the world against you.
Amen.
And you start losing. I think the older you get to, you start losing what people care, how they care about you or what they think about you.
Yep.
Because you don't care. Because this is the thing. When you read the scriptures, the Holy Scripture, if they could turn on Jesus, who was perfect in all his ways, one minute they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And a couple of days they were saying, crucify him. You have no place to think that everybody's going to like you. The Bible also said this, if they hated me, so shall they hate you. So I'm not saying you should be out here trying to make people hate you, but you cannot worry about how people see you. If you're doing what God has called you to do, if you're being obedient to what God is telling you to do, you have to understand, we talked about spirits just a few minutes ago. There's different spirits out here, and every spirit is not of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So when you're walking rightly, then the evil spirit wants to come and whatever any kind of way he can get in, that's how he wants to get in. If he can get into your emotions and say, hey, well, I'm going to mess with her because she struggled in this area, then that's what he's going to do. That's why you got to go into God's presence and say, Father, help me to understand who I am. Father, give me the ability to know how you made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in you. In you I breathe, I move, and I have my being. And you have to speak that over your life. And he begins to speak. This is the thing, like, when you really get a prayer life and you get a worship life, prayer starts to become fun. It's not just you get up, oh, Father God, we thank you. And you listen, every time I go into prayer now, God changes it up. Sometimes I just worship him. I have some worship music on. I open up the Bible and I begin to sing scriptures to him. And then he'll start singing them back to me. And next thing I know, I've been in his presence for about an hour and a half, just singing and worshiping him. Sometimes you travail, and they have you travail, and there be a burning in your stomach.
Good.
Next time you might just... he'll have you just praying for your family.
Yes.
So it becomes fun, and then you have to make it a consistent thing. When you become consistent with him, I promise you, he will meet you there. And then that's where your worship comes out. That's why it would be so easy if we all were consistent in God's presence at home in our personal time. When we come here, we will see signs, miracles, and wonders every week.
Talk about it.
Every week. But we have to do our part. God wants to refine us. There's true refinement in his presence. Psalms 139:23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts." Here we go. We've been honest in his presence. We're telling him, "Father, I'm anxious. I'm worried about stuff I really shouldn't be worried about. But test me. I need you to help me in that area. I need you to strengthen me in that area." And a lot of times we worry about what we're going to so much. We just need to just begin to worship God. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's something that you have to do. He's not going to put the garment of praise on you. You have to put the garment. He said, you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So when you're in prayer, you have to put on the garment of praise. You have to begin to praise him and say, "God, you're worthy. You've given us everything concerning godliness, and we have the power to do everything you call us to do." Bring it in. At the end of this, we understand that God has sent us out to serve our generation. He didn't just save you to go to heaven. There is a plan that he has for each and every last one of you. That when you get into his presence, he makes it clear. Now, he didn't say, "I was going to make it easy." He said, "I'm going to make it clear." There's a faith walk. Abraham was great because he was able to be obedient to what God said he was. Even he was another one. He messed up too. He was lying and doing all types of stuff. But God still made his name great because he was obedient. He had a clear vision. He didn't have it easy because God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you a son." And he waited till he was old. Almost 100 years old. And then he gave him a son. And then he told him, "All right, you got the son. Now, go sacrifice your son." Something that I waited 100 years. He told me I was going to have a son. Now you tell me. But this is the thing. Abraham's faith was so strong in God. By that point, he told his servants that went with him, he said, "Listen, I'm going to worship and we will be back." He said, "We will be back. Y'all stay right here. We're going to worship." So he knew that God cannot lie. God said, "I was going to get his son," and he said that the world will be blessed by my seed. So I'm going to either kill him and he's going to raise him back up, or something is going to happen. But this is what God said. And so we need to trust God. That's what happens when we worship. We begin to trust him in whatever he says to us. We just trust in him. It says, "Trust in the Lord in all thy heart and lean not into our own understanding." So we have to get this truth, and then we have to go serve the generation by what God has called you to do. He's given us all gifts, talents. And according to your gift and talent, God has something for you to make a great impact in your generation. Acts 13:36 says this: "But David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his body." generation, serving our generation. So what is true worship? God is calling for people. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Because I believe that we are the generation that will see the coming. I really believe that. And so we had the generations of super spiritual. I grew up, I have to tell the end of that. Super spiritual. And we had a generation that was all works. What God is going to do before he comes back is he's going to bring a balance of the world. And he's going to show the world what the church is really supposed to be before he comes back. And I believe that the height of him showing himself what the church is, that he has to show the world why he's here. And he's coming back to a church without a spot. So as we pray, as the pastor, that is
when you drive into the hotel, so you used to have church over there. Just talking about so when I came back, I was missed my time, so I went up to the next night. And really not, I got hungry. And fast, and I was like,
because he's going to do the work of the vision. If you know him, he's not a man that just wants an animal. So I know he can just get elevated just because he wants to have overseer on his name. It's because God has called him to be an overseer. You are right here at the beginning of what God is going to do in this season. I prophesied and I told you much back. I said, God is going to give you a gift. I was in the shower and I heard God say, I'm going to give him a gift. This is the day I'm telling you that God is about to start giving. He said, you will give buildings that you did not build. So it's not even happenstance that the elevation came in this season. And you're talking about true worship.
Yes.
That the hour has come for the true worship. The people that know me, that spend time in my presence. It's not about, this is the thing. We have to learn, and I talk on why we are being retarded. But we have to understand this. We have to find the balance of of doing and allowing God to do.
Amen.
There's a balance. Because we can try to do, and burn yourself out. But what God wants you to do is stay in His presence, and He gives you the exact thing how you should do it, what you should do. He opens the doors for you. And so in this season, I see that God is about to take His place on the trip. And you're just here at the first wanting to do this. And even when it disappears, even in church long enough, even in churches in 2080, 20% gives and faithful, and 80% just come. But this is the 20%. And there's going to be more that's coming in this near future, because that's your building of it. God didn't take you over there just to say, He told me this after I said it. Said, before it was a sky zone, I went over there. It was empty. And I sat in front of it. I asked God, Father, this is after I told him what the Lord told me. So the prophet, this is what you have to understand too. Your pastor is, he walks in the office of the prophet.
Yes.
So sometimes it's hard to follow God. But he has the heart of the pastor. He has the assignment of the prophet, but the heart of the pastor. So a lot of things that he tells you, you're like, man, that was hard, but you have to understand who you're under, which is the prophet of God.
Yes.
And so the assignment that he has sometimes is hard, but there is grace that is given to everybody that's connected to the prophet. The Bible says if you give the prophet a prophet, if you give to the prophet, you will receive the prophet's reward.
Yes.
That's what it says. But as you connect to the prophet is there now to speak into your life. And you help carry the prophet's burdens. And so as you begin to pray, I'm telling you, that's your gift. So I'm just going to pray and I'm going to ask God as I take my seat, give the mic over to the bishop. Read the word that we started. Read the word in each of you that we started. That there is work to be done in Union, Georgia.
Yes.
You will be a lighthouse of the glory of God. That's what this place will be known. Is it New Dimensions? New Dimensions will be known for the glory of God. Read the glory, go to you. But it's going to start in the upper room.
Boy, hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. The glory of God will start in the upper room. And he will take it to the building that he's already given.
Yes.
But you have to pray it out here in the upper room. Stay in the upper room until I endure you with power.
Yes.
So, Father, right now, we glorify you. We thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, that they are called to be a true worshiper. For the hour has come, and now is, that the true worshiper shall worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, right now, we ask you to do what only you can do. Strengthen your people for the journey. Give them the endurance to do what you call them to do.
Yes, Father.
Give them the spirit of boldness.
Amen.
Baptize them in fire.
Yes.
Give them a spirit of obedience.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Help them to learn the scriptures back and forward.
Yes.
And then demonstrate.
Yes.
That's bold.
Yes.
Baptize in fire.
Yes.
Oh, obey.
Amen.
Hail is to learn the word of God.
Yes.
And then demonstrate.
Hallelujah.
So baptize them in the spirit of boldness. So that they will be the light and the salt of the earth that you are calling Lord in this day.
Hallelujah.
That they will walk in signs and miracles, signs and wonders. Follow them that believe. As they walk out their daily journey with you, give them a hunger to be in your presence. Because your word declares that in the presence of the Lord there's fullness of joy, and that right here there's pleasure forevermore. And as we are obedient, you continue to give us strength. You continue to give us everything we need for the journey. We pray for every family that's connected to New Dimension.
Yes, Father. Hallelujah.
We ask you to protect them in
yes.
the mighty name,
in the
of,
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
We ask you to save the unsaved.
Bless your name. Hallelujah.
Father, we glorify you for the presence of God that we feel like moving down every eye. And plead the word that you strive in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You can see it. Thank you.